were jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, let's see. It must be, what, Texas? Is that where I am this morning? Coming to you live and in color from McKinney, Texas. And, man, I'm honored as usual that you guys would join with us today. I'm up to come down here and speak to the McKinney Texas Tea Party last night. And just another amazing experience to be down here in a, you know, we're fighting such an uphill battle. Look at my shirt today. You guys probably can't see it because for some reason everything reverses. This is my Tom Dunn shirt. Go wear this through the airport today. It says, I have counted the cost. They always give you a funny look when you look at that kind of thing. You know, they don't know what to think about that. So I'm gonna listen. I'm gonna do about a 10-15 minute broadcast here, and then I'm gonna turn it over to the rest of y'all. Mark Trump's gonna have a little bit, but it's gonna be kind of a free for all wherever you guys want to go with it. And folks, if you're in the pre-show here, some of you were in the pre-show, some of you weren't in the pre-show. Just some points I think are really, really important that I'd like to make here this morning. You know, they're still trying to kill that lady down in Texas, here in Texas. I'm sorry if I keep calling her that lady. Her name just slips me. Carolyn. Chris Keys called me last night. I was almost asleep. It was about a quarter of 10 here, I think it was, but which is a quarter of 11 in my mind. You know, I'm on Eastern time. Chris Keys, what a hero he is. Still down there with the family. And he told me, Coach, that she has been breathing on her own. They thought they were going to unplug her from the breathing machine, and she would die. That was their plan. But they had a backup plan that if she didn't die immediately when they pulled her plug, that, they were going to stop the dialysis. Now, folks, you're smart enough to know this, aren't you, that a lot of people are on dialysis? A lot of people who live normal lives are on dialysis. I remember Greg Evenson, the last year and a half of his life, was a vibrant, functioning human being, and he was on dialysis. So people live on dialysis, and that's not certainly not superhuman efforts to try to keep somebody alive. Well, Chris told me that last night they turned off her dialysis. So in other words, they're going to poison her to death now. She was still awake, 34 hours afterwards, still breathing on her own, 35 hours afterwards. And just to be sure, they unplugged her dialysis machine. Now, I haven't heard an update this morning. From what I understand, Texas Right to Life or somebody down there they were trying to enter in and try to fight a little bit for her. Folks, we have to face this. Bible's so true. Bible says that all those who hate me love death. And I want you to look at everything that's going on the left side of the agenda. Abortion, death, euthanasia, death. Dare I say it? Homosexuality, death. Drug use, death. Everything that the left is promoting ends up in some form of death. Now listen, the scripture says they are of their father, the devil, and the works of their father they will do. They don't even know it, folks. They are demonically powered, demonically controlled, meaning this, what? There's only two sides. You're either on the Lord's side or you're on the devil's side. There is no demilitarized zone. And those of you who follow the show regularly know that I'm not a Republican. I guess I vote Republican, but that's you can sleep in a bed of nails or you can sleep in a bed of walnuts. I guess I chose to sleep in the bed of walnuts. I vote on the left. I'm sorry, I vote on the right, but I'm not a Republican. But it's so hard to get people to open their eyes and understand exactly the Democrats I'm talking about. Listen, I'm not patting the Republicans on the back, but hear me. How can people not see? How can church-going people in particular? How can clear-thinking people not understand that humanism is death. Secularism is death. Communism is death. And that is all that the left is promoting. All those who hate me love death. So last night at the McKinney, Texas Tea Party, I was really pleased to be able to be invited to be down there, be part of it. David Hawkins showed up. God bless David Hawkins. He drove about 45 minutes to be there. We met a new young guy, Philip. It's amazing. Everywhere I go, I find people who are watching the show. Philip, somewhere. Philip, how about this one? Philip is down there. He's from Ohio. He's 30-something years old, 32 years old maybe. Probably watching right now, Phil. And from Ohio, up right near where we held Occupy conference. That's where he lives. He went to Otterbein College, the same college that I went to. And he showed up last night, stayed the whole time. And Chad wants to get involved. So let's lock him up, man. Let's get Philip engaged. He's young. We need young blood. That's what I noticed last night. God bless those Tea Party folks. You know, the Tea Party started, Stephen told me it started in 2010. And it really was nothing more than a response against Obama. And they were afraid, you know, they were worried about death panels and they were worried about their Social Security be taken away. So the Tea Party was at the very root of it, old folks. Can we be honest about it? There are old folks who are worried about losing their stuff. And so you figure a guy who got in the Tea Party when he was 70, he's now 76. And the truth is they're running out the string on us a little bit, friends. They're running out the string. They're hoping that we're going to die off. And the folks that were there last night, you know, I made a lively presentation that I always did and tried to bring them some hope. And the idea that one person could still make a difference and stand up and fight and push back. And that stuff, that's still real. All of that really, really matters. It really matters. But we don't understand. I still don't believe that we understand the urgency and the time in which we live and the need for even the old folks, those of us who are what I call grannies. My wife wants to start a YouTube. Go get them granny. That's what she wants to be. A go get them granny. Well, brothers, well, there's life in our lungs, life in our bodies, breath in our lungs. We need to be actively engaged for the cause of Christ. It's not about having a big retirement, not about getting a 4-6-wheel or 8-wheel or whatever it is, rolling that thing down to Florida and living on the coast. Dying with a big bank account that you give to your son who's not even serving the Lord and he spends it on who knows what the hell he spends it on. We need to marshal all our resources now for the battle that lays before us. Cause we don't, if we don't engage now, you know, there's a feeling in the room last night of, I'm trying to get a despondent hope. I think the people understand as they look around, they understand there was a 90-year-old woman in there who went door to door, 90 years old, went door to door in the last election, handing out literature, fighting hard as she can at 90 years old. One of those putting her hand up above her ear when you're talking, she couldn't even really hear it. And I thought that here we are in McKinney, Texas with a population that they made a presentation last night. 1 million people live in this county. 1 million people live in this county. And you look across this Tea Party room and there's 30, 35, 4, I don't know how many people were there, 30 or 35 people, and it seems so futile. Our efforts all seem so futile, but see, that's part of what the enemy's plan is, to discourage us, to let us think that the battle's too big to be won, to not stand up and not push back. And I just want to reinvigorate and encourage everybody today, again today, the battle is not always to the strong. It's not always to the most prepared. If the Lord is in our midst, then we have faith and we have hope that this battle is going to be won. Now, I circle back around to the whole idea, the culture of death and everything we see going on, and the average person not understanding it, not realizing the battle that's raging before us and the need for Christ, and to think that we have people in the Tea Party and people in other organizations that are liberty-minded folks, but not Christians. To try to say, how can you be liberty minded? Where does liberty come from? The scripture says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is no liberty apart from Christ. And it's one of the themes that I keep trying to harp on the show here. We look at the Christian patriot, the Christian whatever, He's the heart of liberty, man. It's the Christian that's the heart of liberty. There's no liberty apart from Christ. Tea Party can't bring liberty. What is liberty? Liberty's not licentiousness, doing whatever you want to do and say, well, we're not going to get into moral issues because we're libertarians here. Well, there's no such thing as a libertarian apart from Christ. All liberty comes from Christ. And so to be a Christian libertarian, based on the, I tell everybody, listen, I'm a Christian libertarian, meaning I believe in liberty, but not when they violate the laws of God. And how are we ever going to rope America back in if we don't have a standard upon which we stand? That's one of the great conflicts that we're fighting. People want a libertarianism without restraints. That's anarchy, boys and girls. It's anarchy. So I was encouraged to be down here. You know, every time we get a chance to try to encourage folks to stand up and fight, we do it. And that's what we tried to do last night. I'm going to turn this over to Mike here in just a second. I got Jared, go to my Facebook page. I got to show you guys something that just really, really blessed my heart. And the whole time I was watching this video, Jared, I'm having a hard time seeing my screen right now because I'm on my phone. I was thinking about going to when we're going to go to Chappaqua. There were people applauding in the room last night when I talked about doing that, by the way. Oh, there's the naysayers. They're always out there. But I want to show you a video. Remember when I had Austin Beigel on the other day, the video that Mark Harrington had created Equal, made about Austin Beigel, and when he was on Fox and Friends. Well, evidently, another incident took place when they were down there in North Carolina, and some other girl came by and stole one of their signs. Well, they called the police, and I want you to watch this video. Jared, I don't know. You have it up there, Jared? I want you to watch this. Listen, folks, I want you to watch this because I was encouraged. I was encouraged as they arrested this young girl. You're going to see it, this snowflake. But you know what really encouraged me? What if they did that to Hillary? What would it do to the heart of America if we saw a perp walk like we're about to see here? Go ahead and play it, Jared.
So listen, we made it for all the same. Take your backpack off. I'm going to put your hands on your back.
I cannot believe this is happening.
We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal.
What does it say on the phone?
It says, it's a warning. Ma'am, don't steal the sign. You can't steal the sign. You're on camera stealing a sign. Sam! Officers, he's stealing a sign. Ma'am, you're about to walk right into a police officer who you're committing theft right now. Don't throw it over. Don't do that. Don't do that.
Still a sign?
Give it a stop when you're ready.
I just moved it.
You just did what?
I just moved it.
You just moved it? Oh, you took it. Okay. Who was holding it?
Me. She just ripped it out of my camera. She just ripped it out of my hands.
She just ripped it out of your hand?
Yes.
Why'd you rip it out of his hand?
Because this restricts women's rights.
Restricts women's rights?
He's
Would you get it off her sign, please?
On college campus.
Okay.
Where I go.
Can you get off her sign for damaging property?
I can't believe y'all put that.
You're not going anywhere. Right now you're being detained. Okay?
Detained for what?
Larceny? You stole his sign.
He has it back.
Okay, yeah, I got it from you.
I moved it 50 yards.
I don't care if you moved it 1 foot. You don't have a right to take someone's property. Okay? Period. I don't care what the circumstance is. You don't have a right to take anyone's property. He was holding it. Therefore, it was his. And you took it. Okay? I know you may not agree with what's being said, but you don't have a right to take someone's property. Period. Okay? 16 minutes.
Look, sir, I'm not trying to get arrested. Don't agree with you.
Do you have
ID
on you?
No. Am I being arrested right now?
Okay, right now you need to bring up here. I'm going on my day off, okay?
Okay, well, I won't mess with this sign again.
Okay.
Do you have ID on you?
Yeah.
That's messy.
You
can
test
wipes out of
the air.
I cannot believe these are
the people who are here. I'm not trying to pit you, but I do have to enforce the law, okay? That's just how it is, alright?
Do you see us being subjected to this shit?
okay, well, this is a public place, okay? They have a right to be here. If you don't like their views, you can go away. You don't have to watch it. You don't have to be here.
They're here because they want us to watch them.
Okay. Well, then you can ignore them. If you ignore them, that takes away their power. Just that simple. Okay?
It doesn't matter how much you ignore them. They're going to come back. They're going to come back again. And this is why women have such a problem getting abortions in North Carolina.
Okay.
And y'all just let them get away with this shit.
Okay. Alright. Alright.
I cannot believe y'all let this happen.
Back off. You're under arrest.
Well, all I did was I just walked it over here. I was gonna give it back
to
him.
Well, I don't know that, man. I didn't know that. I came over here and then you rested against the sign. So listen, we need to make this difficult and all the scene. Take your back off. Turn around, put your hands on your back.
I cannot believe this is
happening. Right now I'm asking you that.
Is there something else that I can do?
No. I just told you you're under arrest. I cannot unarrest you. And the judicial official must do that. That's why we're gonna go to you. Okay? Put your hands together.
So, folks, listen to this. This is so critical that you understand something. They will not understand repentance and justice until they understand judgment. This girl was amazed. She was amazed that she was going to be held accountable for what she'd done. Without justice, there is no... I mean... It's what it's all about, see. Can you imagine what would happen in the hearts of some Americans, many Americans, if we saw a perp walk like that of Hillary Clinton? And, you know, when Austin Bagel was assaulted the other day, they didn't even arrest a girl, not publicly arrest, as an example. And so that's why the law is a schoolmaster that drives us to Christ. The law is.
Amen.
That's why the law is important. That's why the law has to be enforced. That's why nobody is above the law. That's why there's an equal justice tour. That's why there's equal justice under the law. Justice is the only thing that pleases the Lord. Yes, sir, George.
Coach, you know what? That is so true. You know, down at the Tulsa abortion clinic, the corrupt black police officer, the lady, Karen Tipler, she now has a lawsuit against her. And it was amazing. And I won't go into all the details because of something that took place a couple of weeks ago. But coach, here's my point. She stayed in her car the whole time. It was unprecedented because you know what? When we push back and we don't just cower down, but you know what? Just like Randy Lunsford, we're going to go to court with him in a few weeks. And we're going to stand up and we're not going to just lay down and let them do whatever they want. I think it's important we all do that at whatever level that we have influence.
Amen, George.
Well, George, not only that, I'm stepping outside now. Thanks, Stephen. Not only that, folks, listen. Is it justice when Randy Lunsford's at an abortion clinic where they're killing babies and a police officer stands there and they're killing babies? And Randy Lunsford spits on the sidewalk? Is that justice? See, that's why this is so critical. That's why this pushback is so critical, folks.
Hey, Coach.
We got people running up and down, violating the law, getting away with it. And so, therefore, it trickles down. When the Bible says that when lawlessness will abound, the love of many will wax cold. Look what's going on. Someone has to stand up and push back against this stuff. Go ahead, Paul.
I was just going to say, you know, I give a lot of commitment I commend that police officer.
Yes.
Because he did his job. And see, that's also where a lot of this has to happen. A lot of these people in the justice, quote unquote, system have to say, wait a minute, this is not right. This is the law. And he said, hey, look, you may not agree with what he's saying, but you have no right to do that.
Amen.
And so that's what it's going to take also as well. So that's...
So, Paul, the point I'm trying to make and for people to understand is, again, law is the schoolmaster.
Right.
This girl, right? That girl was shocked that she was being held accountable. How many sinners out there don't think they're going to stand before a holy and righteous God? They think they're going to get away with it, right?
They forgot to tell her what to do at that point.
They did.
In the manual.
Okay, now listen, fellas. Stephen and I are in the car. So nobody gets distracted. I'm gonna step out of here. I'm gonna turn over to Mark or somebody has to run it. So Mark or Mike or whatever. I'm gonna be listening in. I'm gonna be following along, but I'm gonna kind of back out of this stuff, folks. Listen, we're at a crossroads, baby. We're at a crossroads. I'm just telling you, and we got to demand equal justice for all. That's what pleases the Lord. Remember in Isaiah 58, the Lord saw that there was no justice, equal justice under the law. Hey, God bless you guys. Come on in, Mark or Mike, whoever's going to run up here.
God bless you, brother.
Thanks, man. Well, one thing I want to throw in here quick is we still haven't seen Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
That's right. No proof of life. Exactly.
Mark, Tom, go for it, man.
Oh, hey. Yeah, man, hey, Mark. I thought up there. Go ahead.
I don't know if you've ever seen.
Hey, Mark. Hey, you guys. Yeah. Something that crosses my mind is the globalists, which are behind all of this nonsense, really. You know what? They want to completely destabilize everything. They want anarchy because what ultimately they want to bring in are the Noahide laws. So see, even the globalists will have everyone under law. There's always going to be law. It's just whose law? Is it going to be God's law or is it going to be Noahide law? And I'm telling you, I mean, we got to fight back harder than anything. Because that's really what we're facing. We're facing anarchy, which is going to turn into, if we're not careful, Noahide laws, which would be unbelievable persecution for the Christian.
Yeah, I think this revealed a whole lot, but you're exactly right. And it's all based on fear and submission and corralling us into a smaller.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, how's that? Is that better? Yeah, so fear and submission to corral us into a tighter band of a controllable society. And the outliers are the ones that are going to be prosecuted. That officer, that he may have some fear as to what he's done. He's got to go back, and there's going to be people like the officer that George and Randy dealt with that are probably going to be accusatory to him for doing what he did to that young lady. So fear, it's been on my heart for a long time. I've succumbed to it a bit and need prayer and whatnot, but I'm looking at getting a job. I had to take my Facebook down to give myself a chance. That was a decision I didn't make lightly. I don't know if it's fear or just practicality. You know, everyone's been telling me I need to get a job, so that's what's ended up happening. But with that said, Jared, I sent Jared something on fear and just a few notes that I put together, and I was going to cover some of the show today. I don't know if I got that up yet. But the idea is in Psalm 23, we are to fear no evil. God did not make us to fear. And this term FUD, fear, uncertainty, doubt, is what the government's doing to us. So the government wants us to have fear. They want us to have uncertainty. They want us to have doubt. They want us to lean on them to be our savior. And they are not our savior. The Lord Jesus Christ is our savior. So just a couple verses. No, you got Psalm 23 again. Although I'll walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. We have the Lord, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Power. We have power to overcome. And I'd like to just comment. When I was at Occupy, you can go to Occupy2019.com and go to the live stream and download the lesson I gave on external control of our minds. And they have the ability to externally control us. And then last week, a couple weeks ago, I did a lesson on our ability to control our mind through prayer, meditation, and the reality that we have the power through God, through prayer, to accomplish great things. It's a matter of faith. So please interrupt me through this. You know, I planned to go over some things here, but really, as we're heading to Chappaqua, New York, there's going to be people who are going. There's going to be fearful of retribution. There'll be of our faces being recorded using artificial intelligence based cameras. We're going to be categorized. We're going to be the targets. And you know, Doug Hagman, we've spent a lot of time with him understanding just a whole lot about what's coming up. And there's certainly room for fear, but we need to be covered by God in prayer. So again, just a few thoughts on fear here. Business. So there, business uses the term FUD, fear, uncertainty, doubt, to overcome the buyers and the competitors' objections to buying. So if you scroll up a little bit, Jared, there. On business, if you click on that link, you can basically look how to persuade customers to buy using fear. So there's many methods of persuading people to do things. Fear is just one of them. You can use the opposite of fear, uncertainty, doubt by reassuring people, by being very reassuring. And if you just read down through this, there'll be some examples of, scroll on down, Jared. Scroll. So you can reduce fear and uncertainty, doubt to build the relationship with the customers. Customers' homework, justify the cost. Now, don't apply this to a business. Apply it to teaching. A lot of people are fearful of going to Chappaqua. So encourage, stress the benefits, provide support, demonstrate. So these are words we can use to actually win over people, persuade them to do something. You can increase fear, indicate the customer will fall behind. What if we don't impeach Hillary? Or what if we don't indict Hillary? What if she doesn't get arrested? What then? So we can increase fear by talking to people about what happens if the veterans don't come. What happens if things continue to get off track? You know, show that the show that our country will be less efficient. Show that we'll have less control over our country. If we don't stand up, you know, and these are ideas on how we can influence others. And with that said, let's go back to the document. I won't belabor this point, but there's information here. And look at what is fear. In Webster's, there's a lot of scriptural references. You can click on that, Jared, or go to it in 1828. It's a lot of information in that. A painful emotion or passion excited by expectation of evil. And this is interesting. Let's think back to Genesis, the Garden of Eden. Think back to Adam and Eve before they took of the fruit or the tree of good and evil. Did they have fear? Did Adam and Eve have fear before they took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? In other words, is fear dependent on evil, right? What do you think, Randy?
Right on, Mark. That's right on, bro.
So if you're thinking about this, God did not build us to have fear. He built us to be obedient. He built us to enjoy the world the way it was. Apprehension of impending danger. The most we can point at is he told Adam, surely you will die. So if we took of the knowledge or the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, he said, surely you will die. So maybe that was a bit of danger that that God communicated to Adam. Did he want Adam to be a fearful being? I doubt it. Fear expresses less apprehension than dread, and dread has less than terror and fright. We're going to talk about the levels of fear here and just what some other areas. The force of this passion beginning with the most moderate degree. Fear is a passion of our nature, which excites us to provide for our security in the approach of evil. So what comes to mind here is the fight or flight. So as I talked about the brain waves last time, whenever we go into a stressful condition or we're fearful, our frontal lobe disengages and we're more of an instinctive being providing for our security, fight, flight. So fear is a governing feeling or emotion. The chemicals actually in your brain that occur when you're fearful prevent you from doing something. Think about this. Coach wanted me to speak, and I was just buried last night, went to bed late. I got up, and I was a bit fearful that I couldn't put this together. I was fearful. But I had to reason. I had to pray. I had to get back in the mode of doing something so I could support this mission here. Think about going to Chappaqua. Think about, you know, moving against the grain of your employer whenever he's doing something unethical. Think about going to church and your pastor's saying something wrong and you want to speak out. How do you overcome that? You know, you need to re-engage your frontal lobe because you're going to become fearful of isolation or persecution. That's what we need to understand so that we can move past it. Okay? Anxiety, solicitude, the cause of fear, the angel becomes a fear, the object of fear. So let's move back, Jared. But you see that there's a lot here to fear. In scripture, you know, there's a lot of filial or slavish. So it talks about filial fear. Filial fear is actually, fear is a passion of our nature. This is filial fear. That means childlike. That means we should be fearful of our father. That's filial fear. So this is interesting. Let's take a look at what anxiety looks like in the lab. So click on that brain control. What they did here is they put mice in a maze. Let's just read a little bit about this. And they're trying to understand how the hippocampus works in our brain. Okay. So if you explode that a little bit, the published paper talks about a scientist from the University of San Francisco. They tend to feel anxious or fearful whenever they're in open spaces. Okay. Mice tend to feel, researchers monitored activity of the mice when they entered these parts of the maze on the very bottom, scroll up. This is very interesting. So if you scroll, what the researchers saw was a specialized group of cells that basically are lighting up when the mice entered these spaces, and those cells provoke anxiety in the mice. To test if the anxiety was really the driving factor, they next used a technique called optogenetics to control these cells. What's optogenetics? Opto is light. So they used light to suppress anxiety in the cells in the brain. When they lowered the cells' activity, the mice seemed to relax and wanted to explore the maze. Now think about Russ Dizdar. Think about super soldiers. So the maze would be the battlefield. The soldiers are the mice. And there they have the ability to lower the fear of the soldiers, and they relaxed and they wanted to explore the battlefield. But as they powered the cells back up, the mice grew scared and didn't venture too far from where they were. And then it talks more about it. But it's talking here about the growing portion of the population. Anxiety levels are debilitating. Not only that, is they're controlled. They figured out that light, which, by the way, electromagnetic frequency is transmitted and translated, is received as light by our pineal glands. So even though it's not a light frequency, our pineal glands has been proven to react to electromagnetic frequencies as light. In other words, using radio frequency and electromagnetic frequencies, they can make us fearful. They can make us slip into anxiety, slip into a disengagement of our frontal cortex, which prevents our decision making, which prevents sound storage of memories. It puts us in fight or flight all the time. So a lot of these studies are now coming out. I've uncovered some amazing things on sleep and RF and the pineal gland, and it's all tied together. Well, this study on mice is just another example. And pineal glands, they can be calcified by fluoride. So there's a lot going on with the pineal gland that we're still learning. So this is just an example of what scientists are doing and understand anxiety and fear and how to control it for military studies. So let's go back. So do we worship fear? When someone has a phobia or a fear, they experience intense fear of a certain object or situation. Phobias are different because they cause significant distress. So what do we do when we have a phobia? What do? We avoid those circumstances. We avoid those things that we believe are fearful. We actually feed the fear by avoiding those things. We acknowledge the fear and the direction got us to go. People with phobias actively avoid the object or situation or endure it with intense fear or anxiety. And if you click on one of these links, it says 19 million people have phobias, and there's a massive list. You could think of any word just about, and there's a phobia associated with it, a fear of study, a fear of about any action, a fear of heights, a fear of spiders, a fear of tomorrow. I mean, there's just a crazy number of these. None of this is the of lists that you can look at. So if we got doctors and psychologists that are promoting fear to promote medicine and pharmaceuticals, right? Then of course this is going to be a method of income. It's worshiping. It's worshiping something that's not of God. Remember, we were built not to have fear.
Amen.
We were built that way, but
that's it.
Sin created this condition. Scroll on down and just scan through the list, Jared. It's a big old list. You can just scroll from here. It's unique. They got them categorized. Don't worry about that. Just scroll on down. The sum of all fears, they got them alphabeticalized here. Thunder, lightning, fear of imperfection, fear of being alone. You know, and the way fear books. Look at that, fear of books. It's called scroll up to B. See what that one's called, fear of books. What is that? Bibliophobia. Okay, so your brain is going to store that right now that you read it, be questioning, am I afraid of books? And if you dwell on that thought enough, you're going to create synapse linkages and conditions which could actually develop a new fear in you, believe it or not. So you can train fear. This can be subliminally trained on people, any of these things. So do we worship fears? I'll let you guys be the judge. Let's go back to the document. So if you look at terror on the main screen, okay, here's another way we worship fear. How many people love horror movies? Look at that. There's 17 pages of horror movies. So we're feeding ourselves fearful things. Do we worship fear? Is fear a good, a Jesus thing? Or is fear an evil thing? What do the Clintons promote? They promote fear. They promote fear. People believe there's a death toll related to the Clintons. They promote fear. Is that of Jesus or is that of Satan? By the way, that's page one. See all those horror movies? That's only page one. Y'all get the picture? Do we worship fear as a society? These are billions and billions of dollars worth of movies here, guys. So important to Satan. He's probably got an angel of. Go ahead.
I was just saying we are awash in fear, just like we are awash in waves from all the 3G and 4G and the coming 5G. We're just awash in it.
And think about Satan. He's like got so many fingers into so many areas. I'm just uncovering one this morning. Fear. Just simply fear. In biblical context, in our society, in mice, in the lab, they're using it for militarization. It gets worse, guys. Let's go back. Hope at the end of this, I hope there will be hope. But, you know, that's on the main screen. But can we overcome it? So let's go ahead and go to 1 Samuel. And let's read this, Jared, 1 through 11. We can read it off screen if we want. Philistines gathered their armies to battle and were gathered together at
a
scroll down. It's got the reference at the bottom. Yeah, 17, 1 through 11. So let him get there. But everyone knows this story, but I wanted to point this out. Where does fear come from? They used fear by bringing Goliath out. They gathered together. Solomon of Israel gathered. And they're setting the battle to be in battle against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, Israel on the other. So you're drawing a picture here. And there went out a champion of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath, whose height was 6 cubits in a span. That's 9'6". Had a helmet of brass on his head, and his coat was a coat mail. 126 pounds is 5,000 shekels of brass. He had greaves of brass on his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff spear was like a weaver's beam, and it weighed 600 shekels of iron. That's 15 pounds. So that was like 2 gallons of water. That's how heavy his spear was. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, said, "Who will come out?" So he challenges them. And if you scroll on down a bit, the Philistines said, "I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man that we may fight together." Keep going. And what does it say? 11. It's Saul and all the Israel heard these words of the Philistine, and they were dismayed and greatly afraid. So where was their hearts? Was it on God? Wasn't. So go to verse 32 now. So if you go to verse 32, it talks about that he led the sheep, he'd fought the bear and the lion, and he was good. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." That's amazing, guys. That's amazing. 9-6. And story, of course, is one of the traditional stories of the Bible. We all know it. But put yourself in that position. Are we going to fight the 9-foot-6 giant? Are we elevating this deed to what David did? Is Hillary Clinton a 9-foot-6 tall giant? Why are we afraid? We have God. We have Jesus. So just think about that. There's all kinds of stories where God's people overcame fear. And there's just as many where they fell, you know, subject to Satan whenever God sent them, or they were obedient. Look at Jonah. You know, God had to swallow him up and spit him out because he didn't want to go to Nineveh. So David, yeah, they go back. That's fine, to the document. I appreciate y'all bearing with me. This is just thrown together, guys. So David, I love that line. David said to Saul, yeah, right there, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." Don't you want to be the one who goes and fights this Philistine? So, you know, I went into a few other things here. Artificial intelligence, mind control. There's actually a PDF document here that is unbelievable, that mind control with electromagnetic frequency. Click on that one, Jared. Yeah, that one right there. So this is a PDF. So it's basically a scholarly article about these smart doctors. And this talks about recent years, the words mind control, abuse, and torture targeting individuals appears frequently. But mind control technology on the bottom, voice to skull victim, human rights, torture, abuse. Scroll down. So this is basically confirming a lot of the information. Keep scrolling. There's a list. Brief introduction of mind control technologies. There's weapons, there's all kinds of things, there's a list of these. MK Ultra, America's Central Intelligence Agency Mind Control Project. So this is what Russ Dizdar talks about, and a lot of the people who have made it out of these programs, implantable electronic chip mind control. Again, that's a separate kind. Okay. So if you keep going, see DARPA's been doing this for years and years. And it tells who does it, naval space warfare, voice to skull technologies. So I spoke on this, all of these things I spoke on at Occupy2019.com. Get the live stream. Mind reading technologies, not only mind reading, but mind trolling. Okay, so again, this is a pretty comprehensive list. You see where the scroll button is on the right there. So right there on the bottom, those mind reading technologies, scroll up just a little bit. Let's read just the bottom of that one. Scroll up. Yeah, one more notch. Those mind reading technologies use EEC with decoding of neurological signals remotely with or without an implant through satellite, through TV mobile transmission towers. The following data was from NASA's Jet Propulsion Lab. The sensitivity of our deep space tracking antennas located around the world is truly amazing. So is this conspiracy or is this reality? I mean, these are things we need to understand so we can defend ourselves, so we can be better equipped to take down the deceiver, okay? I'm just making this information available to you guys. Patents, I've shown many patents on these things to you guys. All right, right there, the one above that, if we scroll right up, scroll back up. All right, that military brain computer nurses. Okay, this is MIT, military funds brain computer interfaces. These are things we know. We may consider these factual. Look at the date on this. This is over 5 years ago. We're close to 5 years ago. $70 million program. Okay, at the same time that Obama increased our brain studies budget from $200 million to $240 million, or $440 million. Okay, he doubled it. He more than doubled our brain study program in 2014. And then this comes along, to control feelings. Now, how do they do that? Under the guise of healthcare, under the guise of PTSD, victims coming back from this war, that war. Okay, this was 5 years old. Let's go back. Right, zap, electric therapy. So this is an idea that electroshock therapy is coming back. We don't need to click on that one. We'll talk about a few things and then we'll turn it over to a discussion. But again, there's people getting electroshock therapy to change their personalities, to reduce anxiety. Instead of pharmaceuticals, they're now using zapping, and it's actually damaging our brain when all we need to do is pray. Prayer will heal our brain. But you got to believe and you got to have faith for it to work. We talk about Russ Dizdar's super soldiers, fear suppression, adrenaline and dopamine control to make them strong, pain-free, happy killing, things like that. The last time that I spoke, I talked about meditation versus prayer. And if you recall, I talked about the different kinds of brain waves. And when you meditate, you're basically forcing your body into submission. So you're forcing it. You're not reaching out to our Almighty God to help. So you don't have the same brain waves as when you pray. And that prayer requires belief in a God. And that's what opens up those frequencies, is your belief system. Prayer is essential to everything we want to get accomplished, whether you want to do knowledge, whether you need God's will be done and you're just relying on Him, not your own will. Prayer is essential, and it's using your brain. Your brain is required. You have to will your to pray, to stop your own will and do it for God. So that's your mindfulness and will. Let me tell you something. How do you get good at this? You practice. How do you overcome fear? You practice. Do you think Coach Dave's going to be afraid to go in front of an abortion clinic? No. Why? Because he's done it over and over and over. Are we more fearful than Coach Dave? Yes. Why? Because we've not had the practice. So while I was deployed, we had an F-14. An F-14 Tomcat, my favorite plane on earth. It dropped down out of the clouds, and it ran into a flock of geese, okay? When this F-14 dropped into this flock of geese, it smashed the canopy that the pilot in covered in shards of glass from the canopy. It dug into the whole side of his face, his shoulder, his arm, and he was basically incapacitated. And there's a little switch he could have flipped. I test the system. It's called automated carrier landing system. And if Jared holds that still, I can point at the antenna on the mast of that carrier he's showing and show you that the antenna that actually controls the plane when it's landing. But the point is he didn't hit the switch. So here he is, an F-14 pilot, all of his instruments, he can't see half of them. You got a ship that's moving up and down the ocean. And here he comes in, a little bitty speck, trying to hit this ship, and his face is torn up. You think he had fear? Why do you think he was able to do that on his own? This was a guy on our ship that I was deployed with. He landed that plane himself. He did not turn it over to automated carrier landing system. They took him to medical. They medevaced him out, and hopefully he's fine now. Thank you. Next one, Jared. This is another thing. This is conditioning. You got to be in the mindset of being ready. Okay. Yeah. Is this the one? Play this one. Play that video. So this is on board a flight deck. Y'all have heard it's the most dangerous job on earth. Now watch that arresting gear cable. Watch the cable that's hooked to that F-18. It's going to snap. See, it just snapped. Now I want you to watch the guy in the yellow shirt on the right when the camera pans around. The pilot just ejected out. He's so aware of what's going on, he jumps the cable twice. There's a chunk of the cable, and there's a second chunk of the cable. Now watch his buddies back here not be paying attention. Wham! Now that's a cable about 2.5 inches in diameter. It's a great big massive steel cable that catches airplanes. Those guys lost their feet and things. Over there, the guys in green shirts, they crumbled because they weren't paying attention, okay? So what do we need to do, guys? We need to be ready. We need to not be fearful, but we got to be equipped. We need to understand how to be ready. This wasn't my shit, by the way, but it's a training video. This is reality. This is where we're headed. We need to be ready for that arresting gear cable that's going to snap, that Satan is going to use to take us out. Okay?
Mark.
But we can't be fearful. Yes, absolutely. Go ahead, Roger.
Are you taking questions or not? Are you going to?
Well, that's about it. I'm going to finish up here. I sought the Lord, and he heard me. He delivered me from all my fears.
Where does the issue of a person when they're dealing with fear, with what you've shared, and the topic of counting the cost, how does that blend in, or does it?
Explain counting the cost. Go ahead. Explain a little more.
You're going to get arrested and put in jail.
Right.
That's counting the cost. Your boss.
Right.
Once your boss finds out what you're doing, you're going to lose your job. How does that play into the
right.
concept? Because I think in my life, whether it's right or wrong, I take some time and I think of the cost, counting the cost. I'm not saying it's right, but I do. There's certain mm-hmm. things that if I were to do, I may be past the fear. I don't fear them doing them, but the cost of doing them is what might prevent me.
Understand your question now. I'll have to refer back to the disciples, Roger.
What's that?
Christ gave it all. Christ gave it all. And he paved the way for us. How much are we willing to give? Well, we point at the disciples. What were they willing to give? Were they willing to keep their amenities? Were they willing to keep their jobs and only go part way? No, they lost their lives. Are we willing to lose our life?
Mark.
Yeah.
Mark, I just wanted to say that, look, I think whenever to answer Roger's question, in my opinion, is that I'm not going to do it recklessly, okay? I'm not just going to go throw myself in front of a train because I know that I'm saved, okay? So I'm gonna apply logic,
yeah.
And I'm going to think about what's going on here, and if this is my line in the sand moment, then I'm going to continue. If it's not, then I'm not going to. So I'd you like need to evaluate your own decision, your own situation. Evaluate your own situation.
Yeah, let me take a stab at answering Roger's question. Mm-hmm. You know, Roger, you remember way back when we had early in the days of the huddle here, and Coach started this thing with Target when the Target Corporation decided they were going to allow men in women's restrooms just because the men decided that, you know, thought they should belong in here. But and I saw the coach's video from when he went into a Target and talked with the management, and from when he stood out front in a you know, small protest, etc. And I felt the leading of the Lord to go stand in front of my Target or the Target in my community and hold a sign warning women that men might be in the bathroom. So I did. Now, I wasn't very smart about it. I didn't have anybody taking videos of me or anything, but the cops eventually took videos when they arrested me. But when I went, I knew there was a possibility that I would be arrested. But being arrested and spending a few hours in jail waiting for your wife to come give you the bail money or whatever is involved is absolutely no consequence whatsoever in my mind from being obedient to the Spirit, and standing up for what is revealed to us as being right from the Word of God.
Larry, is it revealed to us or revealed to you on that particular incident?
I think it's revealed to anyone that searches Scripture and opens his heart for instructions from God. Now, God may give me specific instructions that he doesn't give you.
Yeah, I'm not going to. I think what Chad said is, I like what he said, because I don't have a problem counting the cost, but I'm no less of a Christian than any other person on this huddle if after my relationship with my Lord, I determine that that is not a cost that I'm ready to go to. I can still love him. I can still worship him. He is still my king. But it does come down, I think, to that one-on-one. What is God calling you to do?
Amen. And only you. Only you can discern that. Only you. I don't believe in this. Quote, prophets running around the churches looking at people. God told me to tell you to do this. Even the Old Testament prophets, the prophets really didn't do that part of it. They ran around saying there's going to be consequences if you don't change your ways.
Yeah.
But they didn't go around.
I agree that it's personal. I absolutely agree with that. And I think we all have different measures of faith. And I think that we're all in different positions in our walk with God. And I'm not saying that any person has a monopoly on the answer. Far from the truth, Roger. And we just have to do what we can with the gifts we've been given in our faith walk with Jesus. And we walk beside one another. That's something else I'd say. That way, you know, we're alongside each other. No one is elevated above another.
That has always been my issue in my life. I don't so much have fear as I count the cost maybe more than I should. But, you know, my first dealings is my relationship with my God. My second is with my wife. My third is with my family. I have to take mm-hmm. those things into account as I count mm-hmm. the cost. And that doesn't mean I want to wimp out. But I have a responsibility to look at those things as I move forward. If I'm a retired guy and I got a pension coming in, it's a lot easier to count the cost versus maybe the 27-year-old who's struggling to put food on the table and he's not quite sure if he's ready to lose his job for Jesus. I'm just saying that's how they look at it.
Okay, Mark, closing statements.
Closing statements are, you know, don't fear man, overcome fear through and seeking God's will, because God will be with you. He'll give you the strength. And, you know, I'd like to just give a shout out to Matt. You know, he's just been amazing on coordinating this event up in Chappaqua, New York. We have 30, 40, 50 platforms that we're spinning up to get word out.
Good job, Matt.
Continue to spread the word. Yeah, absolutely. And hopefully there'll be God will be working in all these platforms and we can continue to bond the body of Christ. So just appreciate everyone's support. Thank y'all for listening today and contributing. God bless everyone. God bless. See you tomorrow.